Welcome. My name is Divine. This is episode 221 of the Divine Intervention Life Lessons podcast. In today's podcast, we're going to be addressing a topic titled Preventing Sin. And for our anchor scripture, I'm going to be reading from the book of Proverbs chapter 6, verse 25. Proverbs 6, verse 25. I'll read from the New Living Translation. It says, "Don't lust for her beauty. Don't let her coy glances seduce you. Don't lust for her beauty. Don't let her coy glances seduce you." May the Lord bless his word in our hearts. And honestly, I'm going to read verse 27 as well. Verse 27 and 28. 27 says, "Can a man scoop a flame into his lap and not have his clothes catch on fire? Can he walk on hot coals and not blister his feet?" I'll read 27 and 28 again. "Can a man scoop a flame into his lap and not have his clothes catch on fire? Can he walk on hot coals and not blister his feet?" May the Lord bless the reading of his word in our hearts. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So what's the big thing from today's reading? Today we want to talk about preventing sin. The thing is, you know, sin is very dangerous. Sin is very destructive. Sin is almost like a seed where you're like, wow, is it just this one thing that was done? Look at the terrible repercussions that have come from it, right? So the first thing I will establish is, if you've sinned, thank God for his son, Jesus Christ, that died for us on the cross. And because of his sacrifice on the cross, we have mercy in God. But as much as is possible, you want to prevent sin. As much as is possible, you don't want to go into sin. So today, you know, there are many different ways of preventing sin. But honestly, today, there are just three major strategies I want to focus on that the Lord will teach us about, on things you can do to try to prevent sin in the first place. So the first principle I will talk about is to control your exposures. Control your exposures. This is something that's very important, especially in the world we live in today. And I'll try to give some examples. But if you know that something tempts you to sin, try to cut down on how many times you're exposed to that thing. Right? You look at verse 27 and verse 28 of what we just read. It says, "Can a man scoop a flame into his lap and not have his clothes catch on fire? Can he walk on hot coals and not blister his feet?" If you know that something is a temptation for you, don't hang around it. The Bible says that we should flee from every appearance of evil. Even the Lord Jesus Christ said that if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. If your right arm causes you to sin, cut it down. He's not literally saying cut off your arm, gouge out your eyes. It's figurative. That see, if there's something in your life you know that puts you in trouble, get rid of it. Get out of it. Right? So say, for example, if you know that you're a person that has a particular weakness for something, or something just is a major temptation for you, every occasion of it, just let go away, right? Like say, for example, you're a person that struggles with lust, right? You're a person that struggles with lust. You shouldn't be having intimate relationships with people that are not your spouse. You shouldn't be watching certain things on TV. To be honest with you, there are some people that the gouging out their eyes or cutting off their arm that they have to do is basically to just not watch TV at all. That's the truth. It may seem like a drastic measure, but the recommendations that God gives in the Bible, if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. That is better to enter heaven without one eye, with only one eye, you know, than to go to hell. I'm paraphrasing. So it seems like a drastic measure, but sometimes to be on the side of the Lord, you have to take some drastic measures. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they took drastic measures of almost ending their lives just to make sure they were doing the will of the Lord. So that's the very first thing you want to keep in mind. Reduce your exposures. Control your exposures. Don't intentionally put, you know, sometimes we walk into situations where we didn't have any evil intent, and men will just get thrust into something like, whoa. Like, for example, Joseph. Joseph did not know that Potiphar's wife would try to sleep with him, right? But the moment he realized it, he ran away. He flew away, literally, from that evil, right? So the Bible says, flee every appearance of evil. If something tempts you, I'm telling you, like, honestly, like, it's really hard if a person is a person that's dealing with sexual lust. It's really hard to watch a lot of the TV that is out there today. That's the truth, right? Or if you're a person that is given to greed, right? Again, it's really hard to watch a lot of what's on TV today, right? Or if you know that you're a person that gluttony is something that really comes after you, then don't be watching all these baking shows. Don't be keeping all these apps on your phone that have to deal with one food place or the other, or watching all these YouTube videos on food prep. It's not going to be beneficial for your life, right? You're literally putting yourself in harm's way. So that's like the very first principle I think I really want to try to elaborate on today. Try to control your exposures. Really, really try to control your exposures. And I guess the third principle, I will kind of rope it into the first principle. Well, besides controlling your exposures, right? Don't, if you have an exposure, make it as short as possible and walk away. Walk away, right? If, for example, you step on coal. Well, again, let's look at this verse 27, 28. I think it's actually quite instructive. It says, can a man scoop a flame into his lap and not have his clothes catch on fire? Can he walk on hot coals and not blister his feet? If someone touches something that is really hot, their first instinct is remove their hands just to reduce the burn, right? Because, oh, you get burnt a little bit. You're like, ooh, you remove your hands so that I don't get burnt again. That's the same thing, right? You don't just want to control your exposures, but you want to lessen or eliminate any kind of time with that exposure. The length of time with that exposure also matters, right? The length of time with that exposure also matters. If, for example, you notice that, wow, okay, this thing is a weakness for me, then don't be spending time with those things. Oh, you know that you're a person that has struggled with drug use and alcoholism. Don't be spending time with friends that you know these people are drug users. These people are big time alcoholics. Okay, can we hang out at the bar? No, don't go there. Don't go there. It's not worth it, right? Or you have a friend, you know that you're a person that, man, I used to struggle with profane language, right? Then don't be hanging around people that just entertain those kinds of things. Let me tell you this. This was something I learned early this week. One component of being a child of God is not tolerating sin in your life or in the lives of other people, right? You should love what God loves and you should hate what God hates, right? Like, don't just be like, I feel like many times the problem of many Christians is unwise tolerance. They are tolerant of things that they should not be tolerant of. They are tolerant of things that they should not be tolerant of. You don't want to do that. The thing is, you want to make sure that you take your life, you take your own soul very seriously. And many people don't. If you take your life seriously, if you take your soul seriously, if you take your destiny seriously, there are certain things you will not even entertain. That's the truth. There are certain things you will not even entertain, right? And honestly, this is something that I have had to learn over time in my walk with God. That, man, there are certain things divine that you may have tolerated years ago. You cannot tolerate these things now. You cannot be watching these things now. You cannot be listening to these things now. You cannot have these kinds of friendships now. You cannot have these kinds of conversations now, right? You can't be in certain places now, right? These are all things that you have to be careful about, right? Because that's the thing. As a person knows God more and more careful you have to be, the more and more you have to tremble at his word, right? The more and more you have to walk in the fear of the Lord. Right? So control your exposures, but also lessen or eliminate time with those exposures. Right? Many people stay too long at places where they should not be. Places where they should have just left immediately. Like Joseph, when Potiphar's wife tempted him. Like, look at Samson in the Bible. He stayed way too long. Kept going back to Delilah's house, right? He took, like, a woman has clearly shown you that, she wants to destroy your life. This is Delilah. She wants to destroy your life. She wants to truncate your destiny. She literally showed you once, twice. He did not learn. He kept going back, going back, going back, going back. Well, one day, that exposure completely destroyed him, right? Someone that has such a great destiny was a person doing sport for the enemies of Israel, right? So I'll just encourage you, control how much time you spend with that exposure. And then the final principle I want, so basically I've talked about two principles, control the exposure and eliminate timing with that exposure, right? Always keep as much distance as possible from that exposure and always try to really dampen the amount of time you spend with that exposure. But then the final principle I want to discuss is fill your life with the right things. Fill your life with God. It is one of the most effective ways to deal with temptation. One of the most effective ways to prevent sin. Fill your life with God. The Bible says that, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Right? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Right? So submit to God. How do you submit to God? Spend time in his presence. Study the Bible. Pray. Watch godly messages. Listen to godly music. Right? The more you put God around your life, put God around your life, put God around your life, the less likely you are to want to walk in sin. Because if the presence of God is around you, then you won't want to do anything for that. And you truly experience God's presence. You don't want to do anything or have anything around that will take you away from his presence. Right? You wouldn't want anything that will take you away from his presence. You won't want anything that takes you away from his presence. So just fill your life with God. Because that's the thing. This whole concept of, vacuum, vacuum, vacuum. In the Christian race, it's not really a thing. Your life will be filled with something, whether you like it or not. So you can choose to fill your life with God, or the devil will stuff your life, right? The devil will stuff your life. The devil will literally stuff your life, right? And that's the thing, especially for people that have given their lives to Christ. This is a common error that many people make. You know, they have been wallowing in sin for the longest time. They've been living in ways that does not please God. And then God, they have an encounter with God. They ask God for mercy. God really has mercy on them. They are completely free from, iniquity and all these things. And then they don't change anything about the way they live. They don't start stuffing themselves with God. They don't start getting themselves engaged with God. I'm telling you, those people are going to fall flat on their head. It's just like, for example, you see a person that is living an addiction. If that person doesn't fill their lives with something else, they're going to go right back to that addiction. That is just the truth. That is just the truth, right? But you see a person, they've given up an addiction, but they did not just give up that addiction. They also took up something to benefit their lives. Like, I am going to be going to, let's say a person was a big alcoholic. Well, I'm going to be going to Alcoholics Anonymous meetings. I'm going to be doing this. I'm going to be doing that. I'm going to be doing this. They basically took active steps, right, to make sure that they did not slip back into old habits. They have a sponsor, they have this, they have that. That is the same thing with the life of faith. One of the most effective ways to not fall into temptation, one of the most effective ways to not fall into sin, is fill your life with God, right? There's this Bible verse I'm going to paraphrase that says that, if a man has been delivered from, demons or whatever, right, and he's whatever, the Bible says that that those same demons that left him, they look at him and say, this person's life is completely clean. This home has been swept clean. Let's come back. And not just come back, but he say he won't just come back alone, but he's going to bring demons, I think, seven times more wicked than the original demons, right? You can look at this in the New Testament. I think Jesus gave a sermon on this, right? So the thing is, if what God has delivered you from, you don't replace it with God, then the devil is going to come after you. That is just the truth. If you don't replace it with God, the devil will come after you. Right? So when you're giving your life to Christ, that's why if you notice at the end of my podcast, I say, listen to episodes 96 to 101, the 5 basic responsibilities of a believer. Those podcasts will tell you specific things you can do so that, as God has delivered you from your old ways, as God has delivered you from sin, what are the active things you should be doing so you don't fall back into those old ways? I'm telling you, that's why the devil likes to fight tooth and nail against the lives of Christians. The devil doesn't mind. Let me tell you this, people that are listening to this podcast. The devil does not mind if you've given your life to Christ, as long as you are doing nothing in that new relationship. The devil doesn't mind. There are people that it's almost like a habit. They surrender their lives to Christ like once every week, right? But they've not changed anything. They don't pray. They don't study the word. They don't obey the word. They don't meditate on the word. They don't fill their lives with God. And then they wonder why they're struggling. Well, there you have it. You probably have one of those principal reasons why you're struggling, right? You need to fill your life with God. Because if you don't fill your life with God, then your life is empty for the devil to come in. That's the truth, right? But if your life is filled with God, if you are constantly in the presence of God, then the devil is like, wait, this home is not empty. It's not. This home is full. There is no space for me in this home, right? So basically, I'm telling you this, brethren, the more and more space you give to God, the less and less space you are giving to the devil, right? The more and more space you give to God, the less and less space you are giving to the devil. That's one thing that many people don't realize, right? So that's why the devil will attack tooth and nail your relationship. The devil many times may not even attack you saying the prayer of salvation. No, it's the relationship itself that he wants to attack. Because he knows that as long as if you've said the prayer of salvation, fine, that's all well and good. But if you've not truly committed your life to God, if you are not truly developing and building that relationship with God, he knows it's just a matter of time. You're going to slip back into old habits. That's the thing. That's why the true life of a Christian is a consecrated life. It's a consecrated life. It's not a life where you give your life to Christ and then you're just continuing on in your old ways. No. It's a life where you have to consistently see God, right? The Bible says, you know, seeing therefore that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. I think this is Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, something like that. Let us lay aside every weight and that sin that so easily besets. And let us run with patience the race that has been set before us. What? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, right? It's almost like all these distractions, you have to let go of them and just channel your focus fully on Christ. Like literally, let go of all these distractions and just zone into Christ, right? Because the thing is, the more time you spend with those distractions, the more likely it will be that you are going to fall into sin, right? So that's the thing. You need to be actively pursuing God, not passive. I'm telling you, that is one of the most common kind of Christian we find in this world today, passive Christians. There are people, they've said the prayer of salvation, but they're like very lukewarm. They're literally not doing much in their walk with God. They do like a 30-second prayer in the morning. You know, they try to every now and then do some nice thing for somebody, right? But their relationship with God is in shambles. No, I'm telling you, you're just going to be like open season for the enemy, right? You're just going to be open season for the enemy, right? But show me a person that is actively seeking God in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, and I will tell you a person that is less likely to fall away from the faith. That's the truth, right? So just be careful, like fill your life with God, fill your thoughts with God. What are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? What are you occupying your mind with? Look at verse 25 of Proverbs 6. Don't lust for her beauty. Don't let her coy glances seduce you, right? You may see someone. Again, you're not a robot. You live in a world, right? Whether you like it or not. And this world is not our permanent home. We live in the world. You will see stuff that, but just don't keep dwelling on it. Don't keep ruminating on it, right? That's where the person starts getting in trouble, because they are giving more and more time to that problem. So please, I'm begging you, brethren, please, especially for those that are sorry, if you know that you are struggling in your walk with Christ, let me tell you one of the things to do. Ask God for mercy first. But after that, start spending more and more time with God, right? Involve God more and more and more and more in your day. I'm telling you, in your drives, involve God. In your walks, involve God. In your TV watching, involve God. In your day, pray, you know, do all these things, right? Just make sure that these things I'm doing with my time, these things I'm spending time on, are they godly activities, right? I'm not saying that, wow, Okay, abandon everything in your life and just be praying 24 hours a day or be singing worship 24 hours a day. That's not what I'm saying. The thing is, part of your act of worship is also fulfilling the purpose that God has called you for. I know many people that are in medicine listen to this podcast, right? If, for example, you are doing excellent work at your place of work, you know, you're obeying God, you are being very thorough with your patients, you're studying for your exams, those are all acts of worship. Those are all things that are pleasing to God. By doing that, you are involving God in your day. Right? You're involving God in your day. That's not a what you're doing in that case is not a distraction, right? So just attuning as many things of your life to be as godly as possible, I think is the thing you're trying to shoot for, right? And I pray that the Lord helps you as you do these things. So for people that have not surrendered their lives to Christ, or you previously knew Christ and you've backslidden, or you've kind of fallen away, you kind of slipped up, honestly, I want to give you an opportunity this morning to recommit your life to God. But again, please don't just say, oh, I'm going to recommit my life to God. No, let me tell you, it's a bigger commitment than just saying a prayer. Right? The Bible says that faith without works is dead, being alone. So you can recommit your life to God now, but you have to involve God. You actually have to like actively seek God. There are many people that have said the prayer of salvation, but they don't seek God at all. They just literally don't. Literally, they do not. They literally do not seek God. They've said the prayer of salvation, but they don't seek God in prayer. They don't seek God in the study of His word. They don't seek God in praise and worship. They don't seek God in obeying His commandments. They don't seek God in devoting more and more of their time to pleasing Him. Right? God is almost like an accessory for these people. Mm-mm. I'm telling you, and that's the thing. People think that they can be middle ground. There's no middle ground with God. You're either hot or you're cold. You're either with God or you're with the devil, right? All these people that are putting a little religion in their lives. Oh, you know, okay, I do a little this. I said a little prayer here and there, you know. Well, when last did you pray? Like 3-4 days ago. You know, first day of the month, I really prayed. And then, oh, okay, it's the 6th of October. Okay, I'm going to pray again. After listening to the Bible, I'm going to pray again. And then they don't pray again until the 12th. Let me tell you this, brethren. You're just deceiving yourself. You're just deceiving yourself. Again, sorry to be so blunt, but you're just deceiving yourself. Right? The devil is going to have you pretty soon. It's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. Right? So you can't do that kind of thing. It's almost like let's say you're married to somebody. And you talk to them every now and then. You barely talk to them. You don't do anything to build your relationship. That relationship is not going to work, right? That's just the truth, right? So you need to be engaged. That's the thing. Like, you see people, they are so engaged in things that have no benefit for their destiny, right? You see all these social media companies. What's the buzzword they use at many of their investor presentations or whatever? They say, oh, we're trying to increase engagement. We're trying to increase engagement. We're trying to increase engagement. Let me tell you this. By increasing engagement, you know what they're saying? They're saying that they want you to not just be a person that has an account with them. They want you to be a person that does not just have an account with them, but you spend quality time with them every single day. In fact, the more time you spend with them, the more the more they're like, okay, we're fulfilling our mission with this person. Right? Like, have you noticed how people, they have a Facebook account, or they have a YouTube account, or they have a Reddit account, and you're like, wow, I just spent 6 hours watching YouTube videos. I just spent 12 hours on Netflix or something like that, right? All these things is engagement. All these things is you actively seeking those things, right? They are becoming a big and big part of your life. Right? That's why you see these social media things, they set it up to be as addictive as possible. Why? Because they want you to remain engaged. They don't want you to let go. Why do you think they make it so difficult for you to cancel your account, to close your account, to delete your account? In fact, many times when you say, okay, I'm deleting my account, those accounts, just go back even in 3-4 months and try and log in again. All your data will still be there. Why? Because they want to hold on to you as much as possible. They want to engage. That's the thing. They want to engage with you because they know that if they engage with you, then they have you, right? So that's the same thing in your relationship with God. Why don't you engage with God? Why don't you engage more in something that will actually benefit your destiny, right? Many people are willing to engage, but the thing that really matters, the principal thing, they don't engage with that. And again, I'm telling you this, it's not beneficial to your destiny. I don't know why this engagement word is really sticking out to me this morning. Honestly, this is not something I plan to talk about, right? But I will encourage you, just why don't you engage more with something beneficial than something that has no value, right? Engaging with a lot of this social media for hours, what value has it added to your life? If anything, it has probably made you start suffering academically. If anything, it has probably made you more anxious, right? Because you are constantly comparing yourself with other people, constantly seeing, being exposed to one thing or the other, right? So I'm just encouraging you today. I'm throwing this as a challenge to you today. Increase your engagement with God. Increase your engagement with the things of God. The more you engage with God, the stronger and stronger your relationship will be with Him, right? If there's anything you want to be in line with every day, every moment you can, is God. Because honestly, you need to come to a point in your life where you realize that God is the only one that matters. Every other thing is completely secondary. Nothing else matters but Christ. Nothing else matters but Christ. You need to fix that into your brain, and you'll see that your life will begin to take a turn for the better. So if you want to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ today, I want you to say this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I confess that I am a sinner. I need your help. I need your forgiveness. Please have mercy on me. Save my soul, O Lord. Forgive me of all my sins. Forgive me for being lukewarm. Forgive me for not actively seeking you. Forgive me for not engaging with you. Cleanse me. Purify me. Wash me clean. Make me whole. Come into my life. Save me. Be my Lord. Give me a new beginning. Write my name in the book of life. Sanctify me with your blood. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me the grace to do your will all the days of my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And Lord, I pray for everyone that has surrendered their lives to you and everyone listening to this podcast. Lord, give us the grace to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. Help us to control our exposures. Help us to allocate our time wisely. Your word says redeeming the time because the days are evil. Help us to use our time wisely, not on distractions, but on Christ. Help us, Lord, to engage more with you, to actively seek the Lord. And as we do so, Lord, please let Christ be found in our lives. Let Christ in us be our hope of glory. Father, this is not easy, but we can do all things through Christ that gives us strength. Father, give us the strength to truly do your will, that your name alone might be glorified. Thank you, Heavenly Father. All the glory belongs to you. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. So for those that have surrendered their lives to the Lord, three things you need to do. Number one, listen to episodes 96 to 101 on the website. 96 to 101 is titled The 5 Basic Responsibilities of a Believer. It will tell you things you can do so you can grow in your walk with God. Number two, find a Bible translation you understand. I love the New Living Translation. I feel like for most people it's going to be pretty understandable. Read it. Think about it. Write an action steps for your life. And obey that word. Follow those action steps. And then number three, find a Bible-believing church. Notice I did not say find a church. I said a Bible-believing church. There are many places that call themselves churches and they preach absolute heresy. They preach things that are not in line with scripture. So actually, one of your jobs after going to church is go back to the word of God. Okay, this message I just heard, does it line up? If it lines up, okay, that's probably a place you should be. If it doesn't, that's a place you should walk away. And the thing is, if you're a true child of God, if you're truly seeking God, God will speak to you that, see, you're not in the right place. You should move away, right? So I just encourage you, find a Bible-believing church, fellowship with other believers. Again, just do all these things. Actively seek God. Engage more with God. And you'll see your life take a turn for the better. Until episode 222. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Have a wonderful weekend. God bless you. Shalom.